You have a line to State Senator Jennifer Schilling here on the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're looking back on the debates this fall, getting her view on what happened. We're looking ahead to what she wants to get done next year. How do you want to see state lawmakers come together on issues like gun control, like vaping, marijuana, CWD? We're at 800-642-1234. Jennifer Schilling is a Democrat representing Wisconsin's 32nd Senate District, which includes La Crosse. She's also the Senate Minority Leader. State Senator Schilling, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, Kate. Thank you so much for having me.
So around our dinner table, we do high-low each night. Like, what was your high? What was your low? And I'm wondering if you could do high-low for us when you look back at the debate over the last fall floor session. What was the high for you? What was the low?
Unfortunately, there are more lows than highs. However, I will say one of the highs was an effort, and it's one of the few bills that has been passed this session, was duty disability. It was a bipartisan bill. Law enforcement was heavily behind it. That allows if a police officer is killed in the line of duty, extending health care coverage to their family, after they've passed on. And so I think as we look at those who put their lives at risk every day, that was one area that we could find bipartisan support on. But the lows have been numerous. I think, 2 weeks ago when I kind of came to a crescendo with the rejection of Secretary-designee Brad Paff being rejected for confirmation in the state Senate. We've just seen the incivility continues to rise in the legislature, and we have met less than once a month in this year. I think we've met 9 times. There is a lot of unfinished business. We have adjourned for the year in the state Senate and the Assembly and won't be back on the floor until mid-January. And we look at the bills that have bipartisan support, a homelessness package, working towards the T21, Tobacco 21 legislation. We have a lot of things that are unfinished on our plate, and just the tone and the finger pointing and the hyper partisanship that is just slow playing Governor Evers and his administration this year has been really frustrating. And at the beginning in January, I talked about sort of my Republican colleagues going through the 5 stages of grief after the election. That first you're, angry and you're in denial and you go to depression, bargaining, and finally acceptance. And I feel like our colleagues in the majority party are really kind of stuck in the anger and denial and just will not give Governor Evers any kind of victory or win on issues. Bipartisan efforts are very difficult to come by. And I think the people of Wisconsin certainly deserve better.
Well, let's look at PATH. Republicans voted to fire Governor Evers' Agriculture Department Secretary, Brad PATH. The governor said the vote was done for political and amoral purposes. What is your perspective there? What happened?
Well, Brad PATH, and certainly I'll start, every governor has that opportunity to appoint their people to those positions. And I have confirmed, I think in only recent memory, I have 2 no votes against any gubernatorial appointment. Brad PATH was undeniably qualified with his background and experience in agriculture, was supported through the committee process with 9-0 unanimous vote. 5 Republicans voted for him, and we saw become very political. And unfortunately, that is sort of what is happening in the legislature. It is partisan. It's paralysis by partisanship. And as my colleagues can point to an ag siting rule that the administration, that the department was pushing, it was in fact a rule that was started by the previous administration, Republican Governor Scott Walker and his ag secretary. And so it's become kind of a breakdown of communication. Brad, unfortunately, was kind of the first example of it, where now I feel like the secretaries really serve at the pleasure of the Republican Senate rather than of the governor. And I hope we can get these confirmations back on track. And I hope we can, dial back some of the rhetoric that's happened.
Do do you anticipate there are more of these firings ahead?
Well, the majority leader has indicated that some of the other secretaries have some problems within the caucus, and I just hope that we can sort of step back from the ledge and reestablish some communication, try to find a way that we build some small T trust with the administration and the legislature, and really look at the people that Governor Evers have appointed as secretary, look at their background, their experience, what they have done in the first, 11 months on the job, and recognize you may not always agree with these people, but that they have the experience, they have the knowledge, and that they have a vision for their department.
We're talking with Democratic Senate Minority Leader Jennifer Schilling of La Crosse, and you can join in. How do you want to see lawmakers working together on things like gun control? Do you see a compromise? Has teen vaping impacted your community? What policies would you like to see to address youth vaping? What bills would you like to see passed? Join in 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. So your priority heading into the fall floor period was really centered on gun laws. Republicans quickly shut down the special session Governor Evers called to deliberate gun control legislation. What is a Democrat's next move here to push these measures forward?
Well, I was really pleased to see the leadership and the support of Governor Evers and Attorney General Josh Call pushing for a special session. It's really been the first time in 8 years that we have had a proactive approach to gun violence in our communities. I think it's important that we offer more than just thoughts and prayers to those families and those communities that are dealing with gun violence. In the weeks that we were basically in special session for about 30 seconds, gaveled in, gaveled out, there have been more shootings in communities and schools. And for me, it's also a personal issue that I have talked about. Both my parents were murdered in 1993 in our family restaurant in Illinois. And so I have talked about the need to do reasonable gun safety and gun reform issues, as far as it includes closing the gun show loophole, looking at, this wasn't one of the bills, but a 48-hour, waiting period, the ERPO extreme risk protection order. And it was just really dismissive of the majority party to say, look, we're basically going to ignore this call, and that there is no effort to sit down and try to find some kind of reasonable measure that we can find some common ground. And it does not have to be a party line issue. That I know that there are good people in the legislature who want to do the right thing. There are responsible gun owners in this state who support these efforts. And it was just really disheartening, and it was really brash of the majority party to spend as little time on it as they did. And, there were groups that were there supporting it that day in the Capitol. We received letters of support, and we need, I don't know what the breaking point is, but we definitely need to look at how we can address gun violence and prevent it. And some common sense efforts, like not allowing people with domestic abuse and restraining orders to access weapons.
Republicans have been supporting more mental health initiatives. Is that way to go about this?
I think that is one effort. That is not the only cure for this. It certainly is not the cure, because we continue to see it. And so looking at mental health support and treatment is one avenue to look at, but there are other things as well as we should be doing. And so I do applaud those efforts to make sure that we are looking at treatment services and availability, but also to think that that is the only avenue and that is the only answer to gun violence in our communities, I think, is really short-sighted.
Let's move on to vaping here. President Trump is said to be considering moving forward on a plan to restrict flavored vaping products. U.S. Senator Ron Johnson is urging him not to. Where do we stand as a state here from state lawmakers? Do you think this kind of ban would put a dent in teen vaping?
Well, there actually is legislation going through the process, T21, Tobacco 21, where there is bipartisan effort at both the Senate level to raise the age for sale, purchase, and possession of tobacco products and vaping products. We would raise it the age to 21 in an effort to combat the high rates of teenage vaping. And the tobacco companies are pushing this and recognize that at 18, young people can, you know, right now could purchase it, but then sell it or distribute it to, you know, kids under 18 through school or siblings or whatever. So I think that that is one of the efforts that I wish we would find some bipartisan support and move on that before we adjourn for the year. And I do think there are a lot of, there aren't enough studies out there that vaping is dangerous right now. We have the lung damage that is being done that I certainly think that we need to be looking at that age, raising it, and just making sure that tobacco products are, you know, purchased by legal means of 21, where they are then deemed as adults and can make some better choices.
Yeah, a number of teens in Wisconsin were hospitalized with severely damaged lungs after vaping. Is this sending alarm bells to state lawmakers?
Well, as we have seen between 2017 and 2018 alone, the use of vapor products by high school students have increased by 78% and by 48% among middle school students. So they are getting their hands on it. They are experiencing with it. We don't understand the complete dangers and harm that it is doing. So I think we should be looking at ways to tackle this issue. And I think it's interesting that we have this rush to protect young people on vaping, but yet at the same time, we are reluctant to do something about gun violence in our schools and protecting students in that fashion. So I think there's a way that we could do both.
We're talking with State Senator Jennifer Schilling on the State Capitol Report. Is chronic wasting disease an issue on your mind? We'll talk about it. 800-642-1234. Back in a moment with Senate Minority Leader Jennifer Schilling on the Ideas Network. On a Monday, it is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're touching on a number of policy issues, including the future of medical marijuana legislation. In all, 33 states and D.C. have authorized medical use of cannabis. A bipartisan group of Wisconsin lawmakers proposed legalizing it for medical use. And another group of Democratic lawmakers introduced a bill last month to decriminalize possession of less than 28 grams. But Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald remains opposed. So what do you think Wisconsin could gain or lose by legalizing medical marijuana? Have you seen its impact in other states? We're at 800-642-1234. Senate Minority Leader Jennifer Schilling stays with us. State Senator, before we move on to medical marijuana, let's look a moment here at CWD. Your name is on several proposals related to chronic wasting disease. One would place containers around the state for hunters to dump their deer carcasses in, and the bill would also designate money to educate hunters about CWD. No Republicans have signed on to this bill as of yet. Is that true?
Well, those bills have been, yes, introduced and circulated, certainly hoping that there is support in committees once we have hearings on these. Being in western Wisconsin, you know, deer hunting season is, we're on the eve of it. The people are really excited. It's a boost for our small towns economically. It is part of our Wisconsin heritage. You know, people suffer from buck fever during that 9-day gun season. And thanks to my colleague, Senator Patty Schachner, and Senator Jeff Smith really taking the lead on introducing chronic wasting disease legislation to look at what we need to be doing for increased ability for testing, for those availability of those kiosks around the state. That it is, we have legislation, Healthy Hunt, Healthy Herd, that has been introduced by Representative Katrina Shanklin, that is looking at what we need to be doing for chronic wasting disease. That it is, you know, several years ago, it really, we talked about it a lot. It has not gone away. It's kind of gone on the back burner, but we need to bring that back up to the forefront because it could be really devastating to our local economies and certainly in the hunting communities if we don't get a handle on chronic wasting disease and what is happening to our herd, and working with the Department of Natural Resources to test and really work to eradicate CWD.
But Governor Evers has said he wants to see what other states do in their research, what it turns up before he spends money on additional CWD research. Is this the route the legislature would go as well?
There are studies that have been done in other states. We can look to see what they have recommended. But again, you know, my colleagues are saying we need to be testing. We need to be making those kiosks and those testing sites available. Just last week, as I was traveling on a road here in western Wisconsin, that we had seen that there are those testing sites will be available. So I think we need to be vigilant on this, and we don't have a lot of more days in our legislative floor period before we adjourn. I think, you know, we're supposed to be until April. The Republicans have us scheduled for one day in January, one day in February. But there is time. We are now on the eve of this hunt, as I had said. But as we look ahead to future deer seasons, how we need to be addressing this, I think, is important.
We're talking with State Senator Jennifer Schilling. She's a Democrat representing Wisconsin's 32nd Senate District, which includes La Crosse. You can join in 800-642-1234. On what do you think Wisconsin could gain from legalizing medical marijuana? How have you seen it impact other states? What issues are in your mind for Senator Jennifer Schilling? Well, let's look at medical marijuana. You co-authored a bill that was introduced last month that would legalize medical marijuana. What kind of economic impact do you envision this having on Wisconsin?
Well, first, I think that lawmakers' position on marijuana has been evolving. I've been in the legislature for some time, and I think I've seen my colleagues move on their support of the use of marijuana, medically marijuana. It's a medically compassionate bill. I remember at that time it was Representative Mark Pocan. Now Congressman Pocan had talked about medical, you know, being medically compassionate for care and allowing medicinal marijuana. I know that Senator Erpenbach has been a leader on this issue, and I think as we look at studies, as more states have moved to that point of legalizing medicinal marijuana, the comfort that it offers patients with chronic disease or with just chronic pain, we have seen that, and it's pretty moving testimony when individuals come forward to the committee and testify on it. So the Senate, under the current majority leader, does not feel that this is something that his caucus could support. I think there's been some indication in the Assembly that there could be support to pass this.
Right. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss has indicated that he's open to marijuana being legalized for medical purposes.
Yes. And I think as we look at, you know, neighboring states here in the upper Midwest, you know, what they are doing on that, if Wisconsin becomes an island. And so, again, that is one that I wish we could find bipartisan support and take the politics out of it and really look to put people and their health care and their coverage, their care before politics, and looking to ease some of that chronic pain and recognizing kind of the support that it has within the communities.
Well, before we move on to the next bill, there's been some mention in the Republican-led legislature that there could be a tax cut in the works. Do Democrats support such a move?
Well, the devil's always in the details, who it's targeted towards. If it is using one-time money, which I don't think is the most responsible way to do that. We've had the battle of the tax cuts early in 2019 when Republicans had a bill that I believe the governor vetoed. The governor had one in his budget that was pulled out that would have been more directed at middle class families, and it would have been more sustainable, whereas Republicans had it was funded by one-time only money. So, again, it takes some bipartisan pushing and pulling on these bills that we would have to see how exactly it is designed to see if there is support, if it is one that's sustainable and responsible.
Well, let's work in a call here on medical marijuana. Zach is joining us from Milwaukee on that. Zach, hi.
Hi. Well, I was just calling to say I actually have been using medical cannabis for several years now, which you can provide for yourself with a little bit of initiative. And anyway, what I wanted to say is why is one, it sounds to me it's just one senator is holding up this legislation, and how is that possible? Why? Well, I mean, it's possible because he is the, I think, the head of the Senate. But anyway, thank you.
Zach, thanks for the call. And State Senator Zach is questioning the politics on this.
Yeah, well, it is true. Senator Fitzgerald, the majority leader, he has expressed his opposition to it. I don't know where it falls within his caucus, if there are many other senators, Republican senators, that also support his position and are opposed to it. But we do know that Senator Fitzgerald has expressed his opposition to it. He is also now has an eye on running for Congress. And so that, of course, may be an issue, kind of making sure that his issue is confirmed on a position that he has. But I think if we could have a debate on this, I think that there are reasonable positions on it. But yes, that is the power of leadership. That is the power of the majority, that you could block an issue coming forward that does have strong public support. We have seen 83% of the public supports medical cannabis. We've seen that through Marquette Law studies or polls and things like that. So it does come down to the power of the majority and the power of the majority leader.
Senator Schilling, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Jennifer Schilling is a Democrat representing Wisconsin's 32nd Senate District, which includes La Crosse. Just ahead, we hear why an author moved his family from the Baltimore suburbs to rural Minnesota, an area he previously called the absolute worst place to live in America. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is the State Capitol Report on The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.